The failure of drug war is glaringly obvious to judges, cops, wardens, prosecutors, and millions more now calling for decriminalization, legalization, the end of prohibition. Let us investigate the Century of Lies.
Hello, and welcome to Century of Lies. Century of Lies is a production of the Drug Truth Network for the Pacifica Foundation Radio Network, on the web at drugtruth.net. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh, editor of drugwarfacts.org. This week, we're going to focus on human rights and the drug war. The Commission on Narcotic Drugs held an intersessional meeting in September. They're following up the United Nations General Assembly special session on drugs that was held in April of 2016, the UNGAS. The UN agreed on the UNGAS outcome document before the UNGAS meetings were actually held. The outcome document was essentially prepared by this Commission on Narcotic Drugs at its annual meeting in Vienna that was held a month before the UNGAS. If you go to the UN Web TV website at webtv.un.org, you can find archived video of the main plenary sessions of the UNGAS. The UN has a great video archive for most of its proceedings and meetings. Most, though certainly not all, and significantly, they have no archive of any meetings of the Commission on Narcotic Drugs. The CND meets every year. It has a great impact over international drug policies. In fact, they are the body which is charged with making sure that member nations live up to and respect the international drug control treaties. The meetings are live streamed, but the CND refuses to maintain an archive. Well, fortunately, the International Drug Policy Consortium, which is a non-governmental organization that works on drug policy reform, reports live from the CND in Vienna each year, and they maintain a written blog about CND meetings that you can find at cndblog.org. Unfortunately, it's only a written summary, and as it's written by reformers, some nations, like the Philippines, would probably claim that their reports are biased. Since the CND refuses to maintain any archive of its meetings, actual evidence of what is said and done at the CND is scarce. The Hungarian Civil Liberties Union and their Drug Reporter Project does videotape these CND meetings, so parts do get captured, though sadly not all. I don't have a travel budget that would allow me to go to Vienna to record, but since they live stream, I can audio record the CND as they meet, provided their internet connection doesn't go down or get too buggy, which has happened. Fortunately, I was able to get at least part of this intersessional meeting. The CND is going to go over the UNGAS outcome document chapter by chapter in a series of these meetings. In this month's meeting, they discussed Chapter 1 on demand reduction, Chapter 2 on access to controlled substances for medical and scientific purposes, and Chapter 4 on human rights, women, youth, and children. Well, as I said, we're going to focus on human rights and the drug war for most of this show. So we're going to hear now from Zavid Mahmoud, Rule of Law and Democracy Section, the Office of the High Commissioner for Human Rights. And he'll be followed by Christine Brattigam, Director, the Intergovernmental Division of UN Women.
The world drug problem is complex and has wide-ranging adverse impact. In his message on the International Day Against Drug Abuse and Illicit Trafficking, the Secretary General Antonio Guterres stated, I quote, "It is vital that we examine the effectiveness of war on drug approach and its consequences on human rights," unquote. The outcome document of UNGAS provides blueprint for action that is rich and forward-looking. This document should be implemented in full compliance with all relevant international human rights norms and in standards to avoid any adverse consequences on the enjoyment of human rights. In the preamble of the outcome document, all member states of the United Nations reaffirm their unwavering commitment to ensuring that all aspects of the demand reduction and related measures, supply reduction and related measures, and the international cooperation are addressed in full conformity with the principle of United Nations Charter, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, all human rights and fundamental freedoms, and the inherent dignity of all individuals, among others. human rights approach in addressing the world drug problem is further elaborated in Chapter 4, which is our key topic today's discussion. Mr. Facilitator, my previous speaker, including my colleague from UNODC, has addressed few issues from the Chapter 4. I shall not repeat those. Allow me to simply focus on two aspects that are critical in the implementation of Chapter 4 from a human rights perspective. First, technical cooperation, prospects and challenge in the implementation of recommendation of Chapter 4. And the second issue which I will address, that is human rights-based data and information collection in the implementation of UNGA's outcome document. With regard to technical cooperation, the outcome document recommends that efforts be made to enhance the knowledge of the policymaker and the capacity of relevant national authorities in order to ensure that drug policy fully respect all human rights and fundamental freedoms. In this respect, the outcome document encourages cooperation with and among UNODC, INCB, WHO, and other relevant United Nations entities. As a UN lead human rights agency, our office stands ready to provide full support to states and other stakeholders, including the civil society organization, for the promotion and protection of human rights in addressing drug problem. In addition to training, education program, awareness program to enhance human rights capacity of the national authorities, support could be provided in many other ways. For instance, in the implementation of the outcome document, several states have taken reform initiative or are planning to do so to make sure that new and reform drug programs, policies, and laws are fully in compliance with the human rights and fundamental freedoms. OSHR extends its support and commits to provide human rights technical assistance and to share good practices with all stakeholders informed in such drug reform programs. Other United Nations human rights mechanisms, such as special procedure mandate holders of the United Nations Human Rights Council, are also well placed to support states in this endeavor. These mechanism holders have addressed human rights concerns related to drug control efforts for many years. We encourage states to fully cooperate with the special procedure mandate holder, provide them full access and request as requested, and implement their recommendation. At the national level, national human rights institutions such as Human Rights Commission or Office of the Ombudsperson can play a critical role to provide guidance to relevant national authorities involved in drug control efforts. The knowledge, experience, and expertise of such institutions should be used to the full extent. UNGA's outcome document encourages the development, adoption, and implementation of alternative and additional measures with regard to conviction and punishment in cases of appropriate nature. My colleague from UNODC already addressed this issue, but however, I would like to address two critical issues from a human rights perspective. The punishment, whenever it's provided or prescribed, in accordance with international human rights standard, it should meet the obligation under human rights treaties. In this regard, first I would like to highlight that the right to life of a person convicted of drug-related offenses should be protected and in accordance with international covenant on civil and political rights and the jurisprudence of the International Human Rights Committee, such person should not be subject to death penalty. I also refer to the INCB's national position on this issue. In its 2016 annual report, INCB has continued to encourage states that return capital punishment for drug offenses to commute death sentences that have already been handed down, and secondly, to consider the abolition of the death penalty for drug offenses. Second, taking into account the severe impact of a conviction for a drug-related offense can have on a person's life, consideration should be given to alternative to the prosecution and imprisonment of person, in particular for minor and individual accused of non-violent drug offenses should not be provision should not be provided for imprisonment. Reform 8 aimed at reducing over-incarceration and decriminalization of certain acts should also be taken into account. Further, the outcome document also recommends taking practical measures to uphold the provision of arbitrary arrest and detention and of torture and other cruel, inhuman, or degrading treatment and punishment. States are urged to eliminate impunity. In his report, 2015 report, on the impact of the world drug problem on the enjoyment of human rights to the Human Rights Council, the High Commissioner for Human Rights discussed various forms of human rights violation related to arbitrary arrest and detention. For example, persons who use drugs or who are suspected of using drugs may be confined in compulsory drug detention centers or rehabilitation centers without trial or even evaluation of their drug dependency, often for months or years, and frequently outside the supervision of criminal justice system. Non-consensual experimental treatment, torture, ill-treatment, or sexual violence have also been reported in compulsory detention center. Pursuant to human rights commitment of the UNGAS, compulsory detention centers should be closed. In terms of practical measures for the provision of torture and other cruel, inhuman, or degrading treatment or punishment, and to eliminate impunity, this was committed by the member state to do so in last paragraph of chapter 4. In these regards, states should implement their obligation under Convention Against Torture. As of today, 160 states have ratified this convention. OSHR urges all remaining states to move to ratification, and for states that have not already done so, torture should be made a crime in a domestic legislation. National mechanism for prevention of torture, as well as national human rights institutions, should be established where they do not exist. They should be empowered and supported to investigate all allegations of torture and other cruel, inhuman, and degrading punishment and other serious human rights violations were reported in drug control efforts. Since UNGAS, the right to life has continued to be challenged in some states. In one state in particular, there has been a notable and dramatic upsurge in extrajudicial execution of suspected drug traffickers and drug users. Extrajudicial execution are among the most serious human rights violation, and they must be subject to prompt and effective investigation by an independent and impartial body with a view to bringing perpetrators to justice. Otherwise, impunity will prevail. The right to life should be protected by the law enforcement agencies in their effort to address drug-related crimes. Only professional forces should be used when necessary. Human rights defenders, including members of the legal profession, health workers, journalists, and other stakeholders who are involved in the promotion and protection of human rights in drug control efforts, should be provided with full protection from any threat, harassment, and reprisal. Mr. Facilitator, my last point with regard to human rights approach to data and information collection. One key issue of the implementation of the UNGAS outcome document is how drug policies are measured, including their impact on human rights. In chapter 4 of the outcome document, member states committed to consider involuntary basis when furnishing information to this commission pursuant to three drug control convention and relevant commission resolution, the inclusion of information concerning promotion and protection of human rights and the health, safety, welfare of all individuals. Furthermore, in its resolution 60/1, the Commission requested UNDC, in close cooperation with pertinent human rights entities, UN entities, and other stakeholders, to continue to support states in strengthening their capacity to develop their reporting mechanism, including by identifying gaps in the current drug statistics and by exploring possibility to strengthen existing data collection and analysis tools at the national level. There is a growing realization that traditional indicators or information method regarding arrests and seizures are inadequate to show the real impact of drug policies in communities. The success of drug control strategies should increasingly be measured according to the impact of drug control efforts in the enjoyment of human rights and other critical aspects as security, health, and social economic development. In this context, intersection between SDG indicators and measurement of drug policy implementation should be considered. Should also be strengthened by adding human rights approach in data collection. OSCHR has developed a set of human rights indicator for realization of human rights and another document that is guidance on human rights-based approach to data collection in the implementation of SDG. Both could be useful in strengthening and streamlining the existing data collection and analysis tool in drug control effort. Mr. Facilitator, in conclusion, I would like to emphasize that a human rights approach should be considered in the implementation of all 9 chapters of the outcome document as appropriate. Without such approach, the aim of UNGAS to protect the health and welfare of humankind will remain unfulfilled. OSCHR is committed to continue supporting works of this commission, UNDC, member state, and civil society organization in the effective implementation of UNGAS outcome document. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
As the UNGAS outcome document states, efforts to achieve the sustainable development goals and to effectively address the world drug problem are complementary and mutually reinforcing. At the same time, the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development confirms the centrality of gender equality and the empowerment of all women and girls and emphasizes the crucial role of systematic gender mainstreaming in the implementation of the agenda. This interlinkage presents a key opportunity for governments and other stakeholders in their commitment to effectively address and counter the world drug problem in a gender-sensitive manner and ensure that national drug-related policies and actions consider the specific needs and challenges and help realize the rights of women as actors of change. Evidence highlights critical gender-related differences in regards to the causes and consequences of women's involvement with drugs. Around the world, women face stronger stigma associated with drug use, and such stigma is typically compounded by existing gender inequalities and stereotypes. Women with a history of drug use are often seen as unfit parents. Pregnant women who use drugs can face civil or criminal detention. Women drug users experience higher rates of physical and sexual violence than women who do not use drugs. Women who inject drugs are at a higher risk of contracting HIV. This higher risk factor is often due to their limited access to demand reduction services, such as sterile injection equipment, as well as health-related services, including for sexual and reproductive health. Lack of gender-sensitive drug treatment opportunities constitute a barrier to women who seek access to such services. Without effective drug treatment, women drug users are less likely to reintegrate into society. Women may enter the drug trade for a range of reasons: the need to provide for their families in the face of economic constraints and gender-based discrimination are among the causes that lead some into the trade, often as low-level couriers. Globally, women are imprisoned for drug-related offenses more commonly than for any other crime. In some countries, women convicted for drug-related offenses constitute the fastest-growing part of the prison population. When arrested, women can face severe criminal penalties, which are often not proportionate to their offense. Once in prison, women in prison can also be subjected to sexual violence by law enforcement personnel. The UNGAS outcome document outlines key actions to be taken by governments and other stakeholders to address these specific challenges in the context of the world drug problem. Let me highlight four key areas of action and intervention. First, discrimination against women and girls must be addressed and eliminated, as is also highlighted in Target 5.1 of the Sustainable Development Goals. Drug-related policies should address structural barriers that prevent women from accessing treatment for drug use. Given the commitment of the 2030 Agenda to leave no one behind and to reach those furthest behind first, focused attention is needed for women who face multiple and intersecting forms of discrimination in the context of tackling drug problems. A human rights-based approach to the administration of justice is one critical area that offers significant scope for ending such discrimination against women. Criminal code and sentencing, for example, should address the level of women's involvement in drug-related crimes, and alternatives to sentences should be considered in line with the Bangkok rules. Second, women's full participation and leadership in decision-making at all stages of the development, implementation, monitoring, and evaluation of drug policies and programs should be pursued more vigorously. This should aim for women's equal representation in justice systems, including in law enforcement. The role of autonomous feminist organizations in advancing women's rights and in the implementation of gender equality policies is well recognized. Women's organizations should therefore also be involved in national decision-making processes pertaining to drug policies, including organizations that represent women drug users and women imprisoned for drug-related offenses. Third, mainstreaming a gender perspective into drug-related policies and programs is crucial for policy coherence and to ensure that areas of public health, education, law enforcement, etc., contribute effectively to gender-responsive action. As was also confirmed in the ministerial declaration at the most recent high-level political forum, gender equality strategies need to be fully integrated into national sustainable development frameworks so as to promote greater policy coherence. Ministers recognized that achieving gender equality will require both targeted action as well as mainstreaming gender into all efforts. National mechanisms for promoting gender equality and the empowerment of women and girls have a catalytic role in supporting gender mainstreaming at the national level and should have the capacity and authority to work closely with relevant national mechanisms tasked with drug control and prevention and to help shape policies that contribute to the realization of gender equality, the empowerment of women, and women's human rights. Lastly, gaps in gender statistics as they relate to the world drug problem should receive increased attention. As the 2030 Agenda confirms, quality, accessible, timely, and reliable disaggregated data are needed to help with the measurement of progress and to ensure that no one is left behind. Such data is key to decision making. Together with better quantitative data, improved information and knowledge of the impact of drug policies, including of criminal law, on women and their families, and of the needs of women who use drugs, can support more effective and targeted policy responses and ensure that discrimination against women is not perpetuated or that women are disproportionately adversely affected. In the context of our mandate, UN Women provides normative support to intergovernmental processes, leads, coordinates, and promotes the accountability of the UN system in its work on gender equality and the empowerment of women, and undertakes operational activities with a presence in close to 100 countries, supporting governments, and working with the UN system and civil society organizations, including women's organizations. Let me mention some examples of our support and contribution to the implementation of the UNGAS outcome across the above-mentioned four areas. UN Women Country Offices have contributed to the review of national aid strategies, providing a platform and bringing together stakeholders, including women living with HIV and young women injecting drug users, to share lessons and facilitate elaboration of steps towards greater attention to gender equality and women's participation in decision-making on HIV. UN Women Country and Regional Offices have supported greater coordination and strategic planning among women living with HIV and harm reduction organizations for greater impact, such as in the context of the Eurasian Women's Network on AIDS, bringing together 11 national networks of women living with HIV, including women who use drugs. UN Women, in collaboration with partners through our flagship program initiative entitled Making Every Woman and Girl Count, assists countries in developing the technical and financial resources required to monitor the implementation of the SDGs. This effort also contributes to strengthening the production, availability, analysis, and use of gender statistics that can enhance the knowledge base for drug-related policies. And at global level, through our normative support function, UN Women collaborates with UNODC to facilitate interaction and cooperation between the Commission on the Status of Women and the Commission on Narcotic Drugs through a series of activities referred to on Tuesday by the CND Chair, Her Excellency Ambassador Bente Angel Hansen. We look forward to the continuation of this mutually beneficial exchange among the commissions for enhanced gender mainstreaming, better implementation of UNGAS outcome, and better results for women and girls everywhere. Thank you, Chair.
You just heard Zavid Mahmoud, Rule of Law and Democracy Section in the Office of the High Commissioner for Human Rights. He was followed by Christine Brottingham, Director of the Intergovernmental Division of UN Women. They were speaking at a meeting of the UN's Commission on Narcotic Drugs, at which the UNGAS outcome document was being discussed. The CND has intersessional meetings scheduled for October and November of this year, at which they'll be discussing other chapters of the outcome document. We'll try and bring you more audio from the CND meetings in later shows.
That brings me to the second mode of civil disobedience. There's a time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to indicate to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
And that's it for this week. Thank you for joining us. You've been listening to Century of Lies. We're a production of the Drug Truth Network for the Pacifica Foundation Radio Network on the web at drugtruth.net. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh, editor of drugwarfacts.org. We'll be back next week with 30 more minutes of news and information about the drug war and this century of lies. For now, for the Drug Truth Network, this is Doug McVeigh saying so long. So long! For the Drug Truth Network, this is Doug McVeigh asking you to examine our policy of drug prohibition, the century of lies. Drug Truth Network programs archived at the James A. Baker III Institute for Public Policy.